translation and pop up by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. We are all respectfully want to hear about Him, Maharaj Pariksit, to whom Sukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter. Sukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge to Maharaj Pariksit during the remaining 7 days of his life, and Maharaj Pariksit heard him properly, just like an ardent student. The effect of such bonafide hearing and chanting of Srimad Bhagavatam was equally shared by both the hearer and the chanter. Both of them were benefited. Out of the 9 different transcendental means of devotional service to the Lord prescribed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, out of the 9 different transcendental means of devotional service to the Lord prescribed in Srimad Bhagavatam, either all of them or some of them or even one of them are equally beneficial if properly discharged. Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami were serious performers of the first 2 important items, namely the process of chanting and the process of hearing. And therefore, both of them were successful in their laudable attempt. Transcendental realization is attained by such serious hearing and chanting and not otherwise. There is a type of spiritual master and disciple much advertised in this age of Kali. It is said that the master injects spiritual force into the disciple by electrical current generated by master, and the disciple begins to feel the shock. He becomes unconscious and the master weeps for his exhausting his store of so-called spiritual assets. Such bogus advertisement is going on in this age, and the poor common man is becoming the victim of such advertisement. We do not find such folk tales in the dealings of Sukadeva Goswami and his great disciple Maharaj Pariksit. The sage recited Srimad Bhagavatam in devotion, and the king and the great king heard him properly. The king did not feel any shock of electrical current from the master, nor did he become unconscious while receiving knowledge from the master. One should not therefore become a victim of these unauthorized advertisements made by some bogus representative of Vedic knowledge. The sages of Namashraina were very, very respectful in hearing about Maharaj Pariksit because of his receiving knowledge from Sukadeva Goswami by means of ardent hearing. Ardent hearing from the bona fide master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge, and there is no need for medical performances of occult mysticism or miraculous effects. The process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result. Oma Gyanti Mandasya Gana Gana Salakya Chakshurumitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Ham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunavitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Paisna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Larita Sri Krishakam Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kapatrubhascha kripa sindhu bevicha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I haven't given class in a long time, so I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so I can speak something beneficial. So we can see, even in the material world, to achieve anything is by hearing. And this is, we're talking about something, people don't accept something which they can't perceive physically generally. They want to perceive it physically. So when we speak about spiritual subjects, spiritual subjects are beyond, it's on the fourth dimensional platform. You can't perceive it with the gross senses. It has to be revealed. The revelation has to come by Krishna's mercy. So Sanatana Goswami quotes a verse in his commentary on 10th canto. He says, those who have materialistic eyes, Krishna will give them distress in the form of time. And those eyes who are within meditating on Him, He will give them happiness as super soul. So this is a defect of modern day society. They want to perceive everything with their own so-called intellect and ability and strength, technology. And the worst thing is that they dismiss God's laws and they make up man-made laws to make out that they are the controllers. But we see with this kind of approach how the it leads to everything going chaos, difficult. Everything becomes difficult. And Prabhupada mentioned in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the Prabhupada, he says how we can see how the demons, they try and make everything for their own sense gratification. And like in the Vedic culture, the women are highly respected because they're an important part of bringing good progeny into the world. And but we see how the demons, they do the opposite. They they advertise women as being equal to men. They put women on posters in a not a nice way. There's no chastity behind it. So we can see in this way how they go against God's laws completely. And even in and the whole result of that is people become more demoniac because of that kind of approach of education. Whereas in the spiritual life, we see, because the knowledge is coming through line of parampara, to the line of self-realized teachers, how even someone who's not so much scholarly or very learned, he may be very simple, but he has faith in Krishna's teachings, faith in the acharyas, he can achieve perfection, and he has all good qualities. Like in the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada gives an example. He says that even a student in Krishna consciousness, someone practicing Krishna consciousness, he may not be very learned, he may be very simple, but he's following the four principles of no meat eating, intoxication, gaman, illicit sex, and he's getting all the good qualities. Whereas a person in the outside, he may be a great scholar, but he's not following these principles. He's not very much respected in society. So there's a quote by Prabhupada. He says, philosophy is higher, but then higher than philosophy is practicing the philosophy. So there's a letter by Prabhupada. He says, he's writing to one Mataji, a Kiani, but it's an interesting point he mentions in his letter. He says, all this is new, okay. All this is good news, okay. So he's writing his Mataji, I just read the preface. All this is good news that you are very studious and always busy. I am so much encouraged to hear how you are preaching in the school. That is very nice, and that is your first class engagement. Prahlad Maharaj in his childhood was doing this. As soon as he got some opportunity, he would preach amongst his school fellows. His class fellows would be astonished to hear him, and they would ask Prahlad, where have you learned these things? We have got the same teachers, so where have you been taught this? They were inquisitive, so Prahlad informed them that his spiritual master was Narada Muni, and he was taught while in the womb of his mother. So just imagine how much powerful is the spiritual instruction that was effective even while the child was in the womb. Similarly, if you chant and read, you will also be powerful to preach, and whoever will hear will be converted. That is a way of spiritual life. So this is Prabhupada's 15th of March 1970. So we can see the potency of the scriptures and the self-realized teachers, their teachings, that if we absorb them and we discuss amongst devotees and we follow the process of chanting the holy name, the spiritual power will come, the potency will come. And there's some points of comparison. This is a quote by Govinda Prabhu from Chopati. He wrote this nice book, Voice is Your Choice. So you get some comparative. It says, the empirical yardstick. He gives some points in his quote here. He says, leaders in bygone ages were chosen more by succession than by merit. Power passed from the great grandfather to grandfather, father to son, grandson and great-grandson, and so on. Choices were limited, and a few families had a monopoly. Potential leaders from other families were suppressed and were not allowed to grow. There was no freedom of speech, no democratic setup to judge neutrally. Citizens had no voice. The king was beyond law. This observation is reasonable in so much as it is based on historical data. Modern history also tells us that the present rule is transparent and that democracy gives everyone a choice to rise, from rags to riches, citizens to ministers. It prides itself on uplifting everyone, men, women, and those who belong to the third gender too. Again, this appears to be completely logical, fair, and practical model. The propagators of modernity should give the traditions a chance to explain why empires and kings and the apparent nepotism of chosen heirs functions the way it did. Is it right on the part of advocators of modernity to give such a strongly judgment verdict? It does not constitute scientific logical reasoning. Moreover, modernism has no authority and right to judge traditionalism from its limited perspective. Modernity itself would never submit to being analyzed, but for its part, it has studied, analyzed, and assimilated traditionalisms. Shouldn't traditions also be able to judge modernity? If not, where is the space of critical analysis and free speech? The Indian system of leadership was not like the Western monarchy. One has to study mythology depicted in Indian knowledge system. We come across some striking illustrations of free speech. So he gives a few points here. So, number one, King Vena was an unjust, tyrannical ruler. His subordinates and educators tried to advise him, but he turned a deaf ear to them. When his atrocities became intolerable, he was killed by the citizens and a new king was elected. Number two, Samantha was Dasharatha's chariot driver, but he had the power to reprimand Queen Kaikeyi for her instance of sending Lord Ram to the forest. Number three, Bhishma himself strongly advocated that a cruel king ought to be removed by the subjects. Number four, Sanjay, the ordinary secretary of the powerful Dhritarashtra, would give strongly worded warnings to his king, but he was never harmed or removed from his post. Number five, Dushyanta adopted a qualified person and chose him as a successor over his indifferent sons. Dhritarashtra was advised to do away with his firstborn when he was newborn. Son gave all indications of being a destructive force. Number six, Ravana was dislodged from his throne by mighty Ram for his arrogance. And number seven, okay. Coming back to our so-called free world, do our newspapers really disseminate news fairly and impartially? Is there a place for honest speech? Even if it does exist, will it ever get the same amount of media sponsors as corrupt speech gets? One has to be brutally honest, at least within, if not without, just to judge and decide for oneself. Of course, every system has its good and bad sides. But the best system can only be judged by those who are really transparent within and look at all things from Dharma's perspective, which is universal, circular, and unbiased. But do we have the eyes to be able to actually see? So, Prabhupada says in chapter 9, in the introduction, he says, according to one's surrender, Krishna gives intelligence according to how we can. He reveals himself according to our surrender. And there's a Prabhupada put the question to the devotees one time that how is it that you have become devotees? So one devotee said, because Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parikya Ja, Mame Kansam Raja, he quoted this verse, 1866. Krishna says, give up all varieties of religion, surrender unto me, I'll free you from all sinful reactions. And Prabhupada didn't accept that. Another devotee said, because you say Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't even accept that one. The third devotee, he said, because we feel in Krishna's reciprocation. So Prabhupada accepted that. He said, this is the way, because unless you're getting that reciprocation from Krishna, you cannot give up all your bad habits. People have come to Krishna consciousness from different backgrounds, giving up the bad habits and attachments. So how is that possible if you're not getting reciprocation? So Prabhupada accepted that point. So Prabhupada also said in one of his letters how he told the devotees that if one reads my books 1 or 2 hours every day, then renunciation will come into one. But these books are not ordinary books. Prabhupada said these books are the law books of the next 10,000 years. And I read in Mahabharata also, he mentions how Sanjaya, when he had the vision of seeing the battle of Kurukshetra by Vyasadeva's mercy, for 18 days he could see it. So in that conversation, he mentions one point. He says, Sanjay said, what I'm seeing now, others can also see through the eyes of scriptures. It's nothing special what I'm getting. You can see through the eyes of scriptures. So we can see how Prabhupada gives an argument. He said, just like lawyers study their law books to know their... So devotees should know my books like lawyers know their law books. So, the other thing we can understand from the hearing and chanting is we should understand that when we talk about Krishna consciousness movement, it's a movement which is going forward. It's not stagnant. So if we can be part of this movement which is going forward, then we can also be part of Krishna's plan. There was one Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and this person gave the argument that you spoke about Krishna being on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and how he's looking after the Pandavas, but he gave an answer in a way that he said, how can you depict Krishna as a person? You get this argument. So Prabhupada said, just like you're a person, your father's a person, so we can see everything is a person. So ultimately, Krishna's a person. He also told this person, you cannot become self-realized by challenging mood. You have to follow the process which is given by the acharyas. They're given the process. And by serving the self-realized teachers, in this way you become self-realized. So we can see how Krishna consciousness is a scientific process. It's not Prabhupada says it's not some kind of faith. It's a scientific process to make you self-realized. I wrote a few stories down. Stories are nice to... let's see if I can find them. Okay, here it is. Okay, this is from Navavraja Mahime, nice quote by Srila Sivaram Swami. He's giving something. A pure devotee or transcendental servitor of the Personality of Godhead, having rejected himself completely under the direction of Godhead, has no other engagement whatsoever. Therefore, his attainments, gain or loss, are never to be considered as the results of his own works, but they are all the awards of the Personality of Godhead. It is not to be considered that only he who works most diligently for his own benefit enjoys all pleasures in this world. The devotee, as he simply engages himself in the transcendental service of Godhead, suffers from all sorts of material wants. The devotee, having fully engaged himself in the service of Godhead, naturally thinks of him in every moment of his life, and whatever he does for the maintenance of the body and soul together are always done with a view to the transcendental service of Godhead. Rewards such sincere devotees sufficiently, even materially, and protects his devotee from all accounts. Such is the mission of the Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.22, the Personality of Godhead takes pleasure in maintaining and subsiding his devotee as an ordinary man takes pleasure in maintaining his family even at the personal sacrifice. It is not that a pure devotee wants anything from the Personality of Godhead, but the Personality of Godhead himself, out of his own accord, looks after the necessities of his pure devotee and protects everything belonging to such devotee. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Outwardly, it may seem that the activities of an ordinary man but there is a gulf of difference between the two classes of activities. The devotee's activities are performed automatically, being inspired by the Personality of Godhead, while the activities of an ordinary man is done dictated by centralized or extended personal aims. The special benefit of the devotee is that his gains for such inspired activities are all but the grace of the Almighty Godhead. But the gains of an ordinary worker, however great, are the results of his own activities. The grace of Godhead is a source of permanent and transcendental pleasure, and gains by the personal endeavors are temporary, transient, and reactionary in the modes of nature. There was a demon by the name Rajkarna, and he was troubling the devas, or demigods. So the devas asked Indra to find out how to kill him. Indra approached Narada Muni and asked how to deal with this demon. Narada Muni, by speaking to him, found out that he has a rash on his right leg. So Narada Muni asked him to bathe in the Triveni. So by doing that, he was cured, but he wanted to swallow the Triveni. So Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati approached Lord Vishnu for protection. Lord Vishnu appeared as Bhamanadev and killed the demon. That's one story to show how Krishna protects his devotees. There's another story to show this point also. There was once a virtuous king named Sumanti. He went on a pilgrimage throughout holy places of Mathura. As a result of his austerities, he left his body and returned back to Godhead. When the king Sumanti's son, Vimati, was informed of his father's death, he was outraged that his father had died from exerting himself to satisfying the religious requirements of holy places. Vimati set out to destroy the pilgrimage places of Mathura, and the personified holy places gathered together at Kalpagram, where Lord Varaha resides, and requested him to protect them from Vimati. Lord Varaha rushed to Mathura and on the bank of the Yamuna engaged Vimati in battle, slaying the demon with his sword. A kun appeared where the tip of the Varaha's sword stuck in the ground. This is from Navavraja Mahime, chapter 12, volume 1. So we can see how Krishna is not a historical person. He is existing as he was existing at all times. And Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, and he's famous as he is famous as he when he appeared 5,000 years back. We can see in modern day society how, you know, actors have come, they disappear, and they're not known in time, they're forgotten. We can see how Krishna's fame is increasing more and more. So Prabhupada said he guaranteed the result that if you read my books, Nectar, Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then this will qualify you to go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada also said that if devotees don't read my books, then they'll fall down to eating and sleeping. So all we have to do is to take to the process, read the books, take to chanting, discuss with devotees, and Prabhupada made it very easy actually. He went through so much austerity for us so we can benefit in our spiritual life. Actually, the amount of austerity Prabhupada went through very high level of surrender he did to teach us, and being an acharya, he made it very easy for us to take to the path. So we have to show our gratefulness to Prabhupada by following his teachings. So Prabhupada gave a good point in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said that if one accepts Lord Chaitanya as the supreme spiritual master and accepts Krishna as the supreme Lord, then all perfection will be achieved. Because to show this example of a devotee, Krishna himself came as Lord Chaitanya. So if you are not sure how to interact with devotees on a... Because ISKCON is a worldwide movement, it's hard to interact with... There's different levels of devotees. So by following Lord Chaitanya's teachings and understanding those teachings, then he says, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the difficult things become easy. And one doesn't have Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the easy things become difficult. So this is our... this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy in that way that Lord Chaitanya has given me very easy to everyone. And Srila Prabhupada has made it much more easier in a way that he simplified it for us. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he said in his book, in his Nectar Instruction, he says, one of the purports, he says, if one doesn't do 100,000 names, he's not considered a human being. But then Srila Prabhupada said, if someone follows my instructions by chanting 16 rounds and reading my books, then I've got the back door key.
So we can see the comparison.
Prabhupada is very merciful.
So is any comments or questions?
Okay, I'll give a last story to finish off, to show the potency of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The famous story of Dandukarni and Gokarna. So Dandukarni was doing all kind of nonsense, causing harm to other people, and at some point he became a ghost. So then he had a brother called Gokarna. He was very religious, spiritually absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he asked his brother, "You have to free me from my..." He was finding out what happened to his brother. So then when he found out that his brother became a ghost, so he arranged the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam amongst those who were serious about understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. So his brother, Dandukarni, he was in a tree as a ghost. So the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam happened. So after the 7-day recitation, Dandukarni was rapidly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam when Gokarna was speaking. After the 7 days, the tree fell down and he went back to Godhead. So the other audience, they were saying, "How is it that he got the benefit? We didn't get the benefit. We still are in our bodies." So the conclusion was that he was rapidly attentive to hearing Bhagavatam. So this is the benefit of absorbing in the Bhagavatam. And I think Srila Sivaram Swami also said in his lecture, when he came last time, that if one wants to go back to Godhead, he has to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is like, gives you the vision how to become self-realized. So, it's important that our Bhagavatam set, it's like having a date in your house. And it answers all your questions. So there's two things. There's a person Bhagavat and a book Bhagavat. So you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you discuss with those who are practicing. And then you can enter the spiritual lifestyle, and in this way you'll become more spiritual in time. It's like the example like Prabhupada gave, like an iron rod you put in the fire, you know. At some point it becomes like fire. So it's like that. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.